This is the Wellness Puzzle Podcast with Andrew Jobling, author, speaker, educator, entrepreneur, and AFL player. Join Andrew as he continues his lifelong journey as a student of human behavior. This podcast will help you live your passion, explore your potential, step into your power, and embrace your possibilities.
Embrace your possibilities.
Possibilities.
Hello, this is Andrew Jobling. Welcome to the Wellness Puzzle Podcast for another fabulous week. And this is a fabulous week. I have just spoken to the energetic and effervescent Gemma Armstrong just after she's received a phone call with some incredibly exciting news. Now, you're going to have to keep listening to find out what that news was. This is an incredible conversation with Gemma. You may remember Gemma from a podcast I did with her a little while ago called Jamming with Gemma. She is a musician, she's a songwriter, she's a puppeteer, she's a performer, she does stuff for kids, she's an amazingly inspiring, passionate and energetic young lady doing amazing things. The focus of this podcast is about finding fun and how do we find fun, how do we find passion and purpose and peace and creativity in a very, very noisy world. Well, if you want to find out, sit back, relax and enjoy my conversation with Gemma Armstrong. I'm sitting here with an incredibly excited Gemma Armstrong. Hello, Gemma.
Hi, Andrew.
Wish you could see Gemma's face right now. Her smile is beaming from ear to ear. And you can't tell us much, Gemma, but you've got to tell us a little bit. Tell us what's just happened, apart from you just fixing the audio panel. I don't know how you did it. I've got this new audio panel and it was sounding really weird, but Gemma jumped on Google and she found the answer.
Google always has the answer for technical problems. That's only ever how I get through things in life, Google.
But you're on fire today, aren't you? Tell us the big news.
Yes. Well, I can't really reveal the full details. Here we go. But I just received a phone call from the casting director about an audition that I did last week and I won the role to perform in this new touring kids show. It's going to go the whole of the country, which is very exciting, and there's going to be puppets and songs, and it's a very familiar story.
That's so, your thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Puppets and songs.
Yeah.
And kids.
And kids.
That's it. That's
and silliness.
Gemma Armstrong in a nutshell. Love Congratulations.
It. Thank you.
All I've got to do is one thing. Take a bow.
Yes.
Take a bow. That is awesome news. I'm so excited. I've got this little panel and I can play. I've got sound effects and everything.
What are the fun sound effects of me?
Well, it depends how the conversation goes.
Okay.
Well, you do like fairies, don't you?
I do. Oh. Magic.
That is you.
That is.
If you go to GemmaArmstrong.com, that's your website, isn't it?
It is, yes.
And you'll see pictures of Gemma and let's play that again. That's Gemma. In a sparkly little sound effect.
I like that sound effect. Maybe that should be on my website.
I think it should, absolutely. Mm. Anyway, Gem, good to be here. Thank you for coming. We've had a beautiful little afternoon, haven't we? You've had lunch with a friend.
Yes.
I picked you up. We went and had a walk on the beach, the St Kilda Beach, and
gorgeous
sunny day, a little bit chilly, but we're refreshed. And then you got a phone call.
Yes.
No, that you've been waiting for?
Jiggly in my seat. Yes, it's very exciting and I can't wait to tell you more once I'm allowed to.
It's just not fair. I want to know. What's the show? What's your part? But I do know you're travelling the country. You're travelling Australia.
Yes.
And even popping over to New Zealand.
New Zealand.
Which is so exciting. Good on you.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Well, it's been a while since we've spoken.
Mm.
So obviously lots going on. And when we spoke last, you were in the process of launching an album. So we want to find out where that's at.
Yep.
You were just launching your website, which you've done.
Mm-hmm.
So give us a bit of an update, Gem. I mean, we've obviously heard the exciting news, but give us an update.
Yes, so my website is now live, which is great. So that's pretty much where you go when you look at what I'm up to, what I have done. When I have the album launched, which is very close, it's in the final stages of production now, then yes, that will be available on my website too. So I'm hoping that it will all be done by, where are we now? We're in May, by end of May.
So we are mid-May as we are talking now. So when this is being heard by people, possibly might even be June.
Yes.
So it might be out.
Certainly all the songs will be ready. And then, yes, it's just a matter of getting them published and sharing them. And I expect to have that all launched, I don't know, within 4 weeks. So that's pretty cool.
Isn't it amazing?
Yeah.
I think when we spoke last time, the last podcast you and I did called Jamming with Gemma, we talked a lot about some of your fears and insecurities and your vision to create this success that you're now starting to really see, aren't you?
Yeah.
Like you talked about 12 months earlier when COVID was happening and when life was tough. But you just hung in there, didn't you?
I did. And yeah, like I said, it was sort of a non-negotiable, you know. Like if I didn't do it, what else would I do? And I just felt there was this reason that I had to keep going. And now things are kind of coming into fruition and it's like, oh, that's why I pushed through and persevered. And I don't know how the album is going to be received, but I've had a really good time making it, and I put a lot of heart into it, and I hope that it will have at least a small impact on some people's lives.
At least a small impact. My gosh. Do you know, humility is not always a great thing. In fact, I did a podcast with a guy who said to me, Andrew, go on Google and find the definition of humility, because everyone thinks being humble is a good thing. Like everyone would say, yep, you've got to be humble. It's important. So I'm jumping on Google right now as we speak and I'm typing into my phone humility, and this is what it says.
Okay.
In fact, I'm going to get you to read that, Gemma.
All right. Humility. The quality of having a modest or low view of one's importance. Oh.
Now, that's the Oxford Dictionary definition of the word humility, the quality of having a modest or low view of one's importance. Now, that's not you, and that's not what you want to be, and that's not what anyone wants to be.
Yeah, that's a really interesting perspective, and I've never read the definition of that word. And, you know, living in Australia, there's a whole tall poppy syndrome thing, and you don't want to toot your horn too hard or someone else is going to cut you down. But you also, you know, want to show your worth and honour your worth.
Gem, I'm up for horn tooting. So okay. I want you to toot, and toot loud and toot proud.
Right.
Okay, because your horn is worth tooting, because awesome. And I said this to you last time we spoke. You've got something pretty special about you. And I know you've doubted and you've had fear, but you've believed enough in yourself to keep going. And this is just predictable. And I'm not saying you're definitely not lucky, but you've hung at it and you've kept going. You've kept trying. You've kept doing things. You kept believing. And always things start to break. Things will start to happen. Things will start to come to fruition when you just hang in there and you've done it.
Yeah, that's right.
So the album's going to do brilliantly.
Yes, it will.
And the other thing that's interesting is that definition of success too, isn't it? Because what is a definition of success when you release an album? How many sales defines success?
Yeah, well, success is so relative, and like, everyone sees success differently. And success for me is just getting it done. Like, it's
there. You go, there you go. I was on my other podcast, the Wally Aussie and Jobbers podcast, and I was having a chat, and Wally was talking about Adam Sandler, who has just recently won some award.
Oh.
I don't know. I can't remember what it was, but he was asked this question: "You've made so many movies. What about the ones that flop?" In the box office. And he says, I have not made a movie that's failed. and he said, because I have the greatest time. I make movies with an awesome group of people that I love hanging out with. We have so much fun. And when it's produced and when it's out there, I have no control over who watches it, who comes to the movies to see it. For me, the joy and the success is in creating this and having the fun and joy, and whatever happens after that doesn't matter. And that's what you've just said.
Yeah. Well,
success is getting it out there.
It is. For me, I mean, it's been a very long process, and I started writing these songs years ago, and there's been so many reasons why I haven't recorded them. Financial reasons, circumstantial, a lot to do with my own negative self-talk and, oh, no one's going to want to listen to these anyway, that sort of nonsense. So getting it all done and packaged neatly and sent out, that's a huge win. And this time it's been so fun. You know, I've tried a couple of times and there's been a reason why it didn't work. And I think,
why is it fun this time?
It was so fun.
Why?
Why? Because of the people I was working with.
Yeah.
And we just created an environment of play, you know. And I don't know, it's good to take your work seriously, but not too seriously. You've got to have fun and play while you're creating. And I think I didn't realize that before. I think I wanted it all to be
hard work. You've got to, you know, determination and persistence and no pain, no gain kind of concept.
And there's no room for jokes, and we've got to get this done and it's got to be perfect. But no, I gave it more space this time and I brought people in who were just a bit silly. And we just played around and we danced and we sang nonsense between takes. And it was really fun. And because of that, it flowed beautifully,
yep.
You know, and it comes across in the music, the joy that we were all having. And that made the process so much easier.
Mm.
So it flowed better and here we are, nearly done.
That's awesome. And we were chatting when we were walking about fun, weren't we? We were saying not everything we do is fun necessarily. However, we can make it fun.
Yes.
We can make it fun by a lot of reasons. So you gave a couple of examples. Tell us some of the things you talked about, because I thought that's really cool. For people to have to do stuff that sometimes is unfun,
yes.
How do you make it fun? Because fun's a key part of this, or else you're not going to keep doing something that is really unfun or really painful.
No, that's right. Especially for someone who has ADHD. Doing things that are not fun, it's not just difficult. It's impossible.
It's painful.
So you have to find ways to make it fun. And since kind of understanding how my brain works and what it needs, I'm like, okay, now I know that I genuinely need things to make these unfun things fun or novel or something. And something that I've learned to do is body doubling.
Yep.
Which a lot of my friends have tried and they love. And it's simply you do your unfun thing alongside someone else doing their unfun thing. And suddenly you're in this together and it's not as
unfun.
You may not talk, but it's just like having that cool sort of sense of we're in this together.
The connection.
Connection, and it just makes it more enjoyable. Yeah, so there are ways.
And what was the other one? There was another really cool one you mentioned as well.
Oh, just changing your environment. Like if I have a heavy admin day, which for me is just so hard, I have to change my environment. And I don't mean like just go to a cafe and sit there all day. I mean like change my environment frequently. Like I'll do an hour here and then I'll do some yoga and then I'll go find somewhere else. I might sit in the park and do an hour there and then do something that's a reward as well. Mm. Like you were saying, give yourself a reward. Maybe it's that slice of cake that you've been eyeing the cafe. Mm. Or maybe it's a swim. Maybe there's something that you're working towards just in this day that you've got to get this task done so you can do that fun thing.
Exactly. And the other thing for me, a lot of things I do are not comfortable, but they can be fun because you know what you're creating. You and I, we've had some tech issues already with this podcast, haven't we? But because we know what we're creating with this and we know the impact it's going to have, it's fun. Mm. It's fun working it out. It was fun finding a solution.
Mm.
Yeah. So fun. Fun's a big thing.
If I was by myself though, I would be I would have given up.
I would have given up too.
I would have been like, this sucks. I'm not having fun. It's not working. Clearly it's not meant to be. I'm going to go do something fun. And it wouldn't happen. But because we're in the same room, we're doing this together. And
we're body doubling?
Body doubling.
There we go. Yeah. We're doing an unfun thing together and it was fun. And we solved it. Well, actually you solved it. I just pressed the buttons. You told me which buttons to press.
It was a team effort.
It was a team effort. Anyway, we're going to now reward ourselves with a vegan bite. So we're going to have a quick break and we're going to come back in a sec.
Have you ever wanted to write your own book? Have you ever wanted to impact many lives? Do you want to live your very best life? If so, I would love for you to join me at the I Am Author Retreat in Bali, July 23 to July 29, 2023. Come and immerse yourself in an incredible environment, connect with like-minded people, and let your creativity flow freely. If you want more information, contact me at andrew@andrewjobling.com.au and unleash the author within.
Okay, we're having fun with Gemma Armstrong right now. We're jamming with Gemma.
Yep.
And Gemma's a happy girl.
Mm-hmm.
She can't wipe the smile off her face after she's just found out that she's got the gig. What do you call it? The show?
The puppet show.
Puppety, musically, kids, puppety, travel Australia kind of thing, making kids smile and laugh and learn and have fun. Yep. Fun.
Fun.
Fun seems to be the theme today. So I think we might have to make fun the theme, and because I think there's a lot of people out there not having fun.
Mm.
And, in fact, there's a lot of people out there that, and I'm going to get really serious for a second, there are a lot of people out there having so much unfun that they're thinking life's not worth living.
Mm.
And that's not good.
No.
So we want to help people find that spark, find that joy, find that fun, find that pleasure. And one of the reasons why I wanted to chat to you again, Gem, is A, because I love hanging out with you, but we were chatting on the phone a few weeks ago and I was doing a road trip. I was driving from Albury to Melbourne, which is a 3.5 hour drive, and we were chatting and you were telling me you took yourself on a bit of a retreat, a self-retreat, didn't you?
Yes.
You took yourself away and you just disconnected from everything. And I think, wow, that's a really powerful thing that you did, and it's a courageous thing to do because I don't know if I could do it.
Why?
But you did inspire me because we live in this age where we've got to be connected.
Mm.
I think you said you didn't even take your phone.
I took it with me because I needed the Google Maps to get to the place, but I didn't use it. Like, I kept it on flight mode for 3 days.
See, that's hard because I don't know, I'd have it and it's there and it's sitting there and I'm going, well, what if there's an important message I've got to get? What if this? What if that? What if I've missed the call? What if and then the brain starts going, yeah, I'll just check it quickly once and then I'll turn it off again, but I won't turn it on again afterwards. So tell us about, A, the decision to do it, B, how you – it was 3 days?
Yeah.
3 days?
Well, 3 nights.
3 days, 3 nights. And then what's been the impact since you've got back and got back into life?
Well, it's not the first time I've done this. This will be my third or fourth retreat. And the reason I did it the first time was because I just felt this sense of overwhelm, like – so much noise in my head and distractions and responsibilities and people around me asking things of me, and I just wanted some space to hear the truth. I call it truth because, I mean, if you are so pulled in different directions by external things, then you lose that truth, that honest calling inside you, that wisdom that answers those life's questions that you've been struggling over. And that's where creativity lives as well, in that space of truth. And the best way for me to access that is to get away from the noise. And it doesn't have to be actual, like, audible noise. It could be noise that's coming at you through a phone, that on the screen, you know, words. And if you just take all of that away for a moment, then you create that space that you welcome wisdom and truth and creativity and things to just flow naturally. And it can go either way. Like, I've had one retreat which was really quite challenging because it suddenly, oh, there's all these things that I haven't been addressing that needed addressing, and I didn't really create music like I'd hoped on that retreat. I just cried a lot. And so but I came back feeling free after that.
Yeah.
So I found that doing this is really very powerful. But this time, my last retreat, which I did in the Dandenongs, was in a little cabin, and I spent 3 nights there, and I took my ukulele and my keyboard, and I was like, I just need to be in this space with no distractions to let the ideas come naturally. It's very easy to kind of feel like you have to write, or, you know, get sort of caught up in.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I would imagine if you're going there specifically to retreat, relax, create, then all of a sudden there's this pressure to go, well, I must relax, I must create. Why aren't I creating? Oh, yeah. What is wrong with me? Oh, my gosh. Then all of a sudden you're back into that stress mode. So how did you avoid that?
Oh, I didn't. Well, that happened for sure. It always happens on the first day. That's why I need 3 days, because the first day is a write-off. First day is always, okay, I'm going to relax so hard and I'm going to...
Ready, set, relax.
And go. Oh, it's not working. Okay, I just need to meditate harder. Okay. And of course it doesn't work like that. But you got to go through all of that. It's like you're just going to get that out of your system because it will happen. And then it's like, I don't know, the universe kind of says, okay, that's kind of cute, but you can just chill out now, right? And then you do. And then things just start flowing naturally.
It's an interesting physiological process at play here. Because I think there are people that sit there and go, yeah, that's just woo-woo, new-agey, wanky rubbish. Like, people say that all the time.
Yeah.
I used to say that. But there is a physiological process happening here.
Mm.
And I've spoken about this so much. I just find that each year there tends to be a theme, and seems to be in 2023 the theme is healing, creation, that kind of thing. You talk about noise, the noise of the world. When you're at home and in your normal routine, you've got the noise of the demands on your life. And you, I know you live in an inner city suburb, which is noisy, busy, frantic. And you've even got that noise in your own head saying, you should do this, you should do that, you should have done this. Why didn't you do that? How come you didn't do that differently? Blah, 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 blah. And we're operating out of stress.
Yes.
And that's called the sympathetic nervous system. Mm-hmm. So the nervous system that's driving our choices and our things that we do is stress.
Mm.
And when we're in stress, there is no creativity.
No, you're in survival mode.
There is no healing. Mm. In fact, if anything, it's destructive.
Mm.
And as we know, if you look at most physical ailments, you could probably track the source back to something stress-related.
Yeah.
So what you've done is you've got through that first day of doubting and how do I relax, and you've actually then clicked into your parasympathetic nervous system, which is where healing happens.
Mm-hmm.
That's where creation happens. Yes. And that's where you're able to just enjoy the moment,
mm.
the real you, the truth, yes. the honesty, yeah. the authenticity of who yeah. you are and what you believe and what you want. And then the answers just seem to come, don't they?
Mm.
And so then yeah. what happened, Jem, in that moment of clarity and peace and creativity, what came out of you?
On the first day when I was still in the mess and the noise, I started writing very frustratingly. I was like, I'm here to write a song. Well, I'm going to write a song. And it was not working, of course. I was forcing it. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to write a song about that, about the fact that this is not easy and I can't seem to focus. My mind's jumping all over the place. And at that time, I was also kind of exploring, you know, this new idea that we are all chronically distracted because of the use of our phones and, you know, advertising and all this sort of stuff. So I wrote a song about that. And the first day, it was just like, ugh, it was not fun. Like, I didn't enjoy writing it. But I was like,
you weren't employing some of your tactics, were you? Your fun tactics.
No. But see, the thing is, like, fun actually comes later sometimes. You've just got to start and do a little bit and then keep going, and then something shifts and you suddenly stop thinking about it and then you're just doing it.
Yeah.
And then that's when truth emerges and that's when it flows and it's like, oh, I know what line's coming next. Oh, I know what chord is going to come next. And then it ends up writing itself. So, yeah, but you've got to know that that is not an instant thing.
Yeah.
It's just not. You've got to give time to get through the mess and the noise because that's where you've been living. You've been in that state for a while.
There are people sitting here listening to this going, yep, that's where I'm sitting right now. That's where I'm living in the noise.
Yeah. So it's maybe taking yourself out of the noise, like drastically, you know, find a cabin, turning your phone off. It's dramatic, but it does work.
Okay. So we'll talk about some ideas for people shortly because sometimes taking 3 days off, people are just going to go, I can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not prepared to do it. It's too hard. So there are some more interim, moderate things that people can do.
Mm.
To find fun,
mm-hmm.
and find that place. So you wrote 2 songs while you're away,
yes.
and you sent both of them to me, or mm-hmm. you certainly sent that yeah. first one, and I thought, wow, this is amazing. Mm-hmm. And I'm sitting listening to this song. I think, how do you do that? How do you come up with – and it was just such an awesome song that you'd sent me and you'd written the music for and you'd written the lyrics for, and I'm thinking, wow, that's a pretty amazing thing. But then – and certainly I'm not diminishing what you did, but I'm thinking, well, we all have that in us, that ability to create. It doesn't have to be music.
No.
Doesn't have to be writing books. Doesn't have to be art. Creating might mean coming up with a solution for a problem you might be dealing with. It might be, okay, I need to make more money so I can pay my mortgage. Mm-hmm. That's been creative. How do I generate more income? How do I save money? Maybe I need to be creative about how do I keep my kids entertained. So creativity is not limited to that artistic space where most people see it.
No.
That was awesome. So apart from 2 songs that you've written that were amazing, what else happened to you within you as a result of those 3 days?
So it's like you were saying about the
sympathetic nervous system.
Sympathetic nervous system. If you've been living in this state, and I think most people generally now, because of the life that the society we live in now of high expectation and intensity, we're all a little bit stressed all the time.
Yes.
And when you take yourself away from the stresses, you're just left with your own internal stress and there's nothing else to blame except yourself for however you're feeling. And like I sit in that for a while and I write things down and write down thoughts and let them come as they, when they come and then I let them go. And through that sort of, it's almost like this purging process or something, like things just like I'm giving myself the space and time to feel and think about things that have been stuck in me, which I haven't been able to release because I've been too stressed, because there's been too noise, because I've been too distracted. So when I give myself, this is my own experience, but if I give myself the opportunity to feel these things and let these things just flow through for me to acknowledge them and then let them go, I come away with more space and more clarity, and I can feel like I'm better equipped to make intuitive decisions.
Yep. Okay. So when you got back home, apart from your music, which obviously it helped you create, what changed in terms of just interacting with your partner, interacting with that crazy world around you?
Yeah.
Do you find that easier?
Yes. So I find it easier. I feel like I have more capacity again because I'd recovered. But it also like gave me the motivation to create more of that in my life, create more space or more moments of space, because I can see the significance of doing that. Because if you don't allow time for even your subconscious to process things, it does store in your body, and I don't think it does good things. Yeah, now I commit to sitting in a park every day for at least 10 minutes and not look at my phone. You know, put it down, just be there, let your mind wander. People's minds don't wander anymore. That used to happen all the time. We just go for a little stroll and our minds would go from one thing to the next. And that's really important process. That's the brain like processing stuff.
It is.
Yeah.
How funny is it these days you go walking down the street and how many times does someone almost walk into you because they're looking at their phone?
I know.
They're walking, looking at their phone, and then they look up for a second and they almost either walk into a pole or walk into you.
Into you. Yeah.
And, I mean, I've done it too. I'm not pretending so to be the high almighty sort of, I never do this sort of stuff. I do it all the time. But surely that's a sign that we've got to, if we can't walk without looking at a phone, I think there's something wrong.
Yeah, I think we've lost touch with them. It's not our fault. The phones have been carefully manufactured and designed to hook us, for our attention is their profit.
Absolutely.
So,
absolutely,
yeah, it's very, very hard to say, oh, I'm just going to not look at it, because, you know, you're going against your own human sort of.
It's that FOMO, isn't it? Fear of missing out. What if I miss this? What if I miss that? What if I want to see how many likes I've got on my Facebook post? What if I miss that? Or that comment that, or that phone call or that text message or that blah, 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 blah. Oh, my gosh. I think I need to go and meditate for a minute. Let's have a quick break, Jam, and let's meditate and get a bit mindful, and we'll come back and give some people some good strategies to really tap into creativity and to find their fun.
I hear a bird.
Hi, I'm Jem. I'm talking with Andrew today about my children's music brand, Jamming with Gemma, for songs, stories, shows and workshops for young children that the whole family will enjoy. Visit jammingwithgemma.com or you can find me on Facebook. Thanks for listening.
Feeling happy and free.
All right, Jem, let's get practical here. Okay. Finding fun. I think finding fun's a theme of this podcast and we want people to find fun.
Yes.
Because if you're not finding fun in every single day, I think there's a problem.
Yeah. It sometimes has to be a conscious practice. And there are periods in my life where I just wasn't having any fun at all. And fun felt forced.
Yep.
You know, when you're doing things which you're like, oh, I used to enjoy this. And you're doing it and it's like, this still isn't fun. Why am I not having fun?
Well, sometimes you do it because it's almost numbing the pain. Or you're distracting yourself from stuff that is really unfun, that you're not loving, maybe going to the movies or whatever. And I wrote this in the blog the other day. I went for a walk, and which should bring this joy, and because I love walking around my neighborhood and on the beach. And I went for this walk and it wasn't fun because as I was walking, I was stressing. I was thinking about what I should be doing. I shouldn't be walking. I should be there. I should be doing this. And then all of a sudden, even the thing that you would normally do for fun isn't fun, because I think fun's a mindset. It's not an activity.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's profound, isn't
profound.
It? Wow.
When are you doing a TED talk?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, absolutely. It is. And it's that mindset shift that allows you to see the fun, I think, because it's human tendency to have this negative bias and look for things that need improving rather than the things that we already are very fortunate to have in our lives. And it's very easy to fall into that trap, and it just becomes a bit of a a habit to think that way. So getting out of a habit, it does take practice.
Mm.
And when I notice that I'm slipping into the not fun mindset, oh, this need fixing in my life, this is wrong, I'm not happy, blah, 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 that means that I'm not being self-compassionate. That means that I'm not checking in with myself, creating space, getting rid of the noise for a little bit, looking in and going, how am I really feeling and what's going to make me feel warm and fuzzy?
And that's really important what you just said there, Jen, because we get what we look for. Like when I'm looking for solutions, I'm looking for answers, I'm looking for things that I can do, you'll find it.
Yeah.
When you're looking for things or focused on things you don't like, when you're focused on things you don't want to do, you'll find that too. You'll always find what you're looking for. So it is, again, that's a deliberate choice to look for opportunities for gratitude, for peace, for fun, for inspiration.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what are some things people can do?
Well, something that I did a little while ago was I took a photo of something that made me feel a little bit happy. And it was so simple, you know, maybe a little flower or maybe a cookie that my mum made or a puppy or just the sky, anything. And I would use that as an intentional moment to capture that moment and appreciate it. And I mean, it was like, oh, for 365 days I'm going to do this Instagram thing and do a photo and or like write a caption of how grateful I am for that thing. It only lasted for like a week or whatever. But the point is it started a habit.
Yep.
And then after I stopped posting them, I was still noticing things. And because I set that goal to take a photo of something nice every day, I was looking out for something.
You're looking for nice things every day.
Yeah, like, oh, that's nice. But what if a nicer thing is going to show up?
I'll take around a photo this next corner, there was going to be something even nicer.
Exactly. And that was such a simple little thing to do.
My gosh, that is so good, Jem. That is good. Because don't we look, we're always thinking about, oh, why this isn't good and why the news is bad. And around every corner, there's something else that we're not happy with. Mm. But when you deliberately say, I'm going to look for something that makes me smile, that's beautiful.
Yeah. And the good thing about Instagram is, oh, there's not many good things about Instagram, let's be honest. But the good thing about Instagram is you share it.
Yep.
And so there's an element of accountability there. And, you know, if you just set yourself a goal, don't tell anyone about it. Oh, yes, every day I'm going to do this. I'm going to write my gratitude. It's very easy to not do that because there's no pressure. There's no expectation. It's like, well, no one's going to know if I don't do it and what's going to change anyway.
Well, they will because you'll have a stinky attitude.
Yes. But if people are expecting it, then that does change things as well. Or, you know, just share it. Shares and it makes someone else smile. Yep. That's nice too.
Yeah.
Share the fun thing that you saw. It could have been anything, you know, a little four-year-old boy wearing pink nail polish. I love that. That's fun.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So what are we looking for? So we're looking for fun things to do, not just fun, but just, I don't know, what's the word? It doesn't always have to be fun, ha ha.
No.
It can just be almost peaceful.
Yes.
You know, I think peace is a really important word.
Something that takes the seriousness out of life.
And takes that stress, that edge away where you can just breathe and go, it's okay, everything's all right.
Yeah, it is.
And when you look outside, I mean, I'm sitting here on my dining room table, Jem, and I apologise, I've given you the dud seat. You don't get to look outside and see the trees and the blue sky. And even just to stop for you mentioned sit down for 10 minutes, but even to stop for 30 seconds and have a mindful moment where you go, wow, I love where I live. Or look at that tree or look at that bird or just notice how you're feeling or stop and listen to the sounds or just simple things like that that take no time at all but can bring you back into that moment of peace and awareness and joy.
Yes, but for me personally, because my brain needs novelty, I find it difficult to do this gratitude practice every day. I don't do well with routines. They become stale. And so the good thing about capturing a moment is you're always looking for something new.
Different.
It's always a new, fun, happy.
But even that's a routine though, isn't it?
Yes, but there's
novelty. But you can kid yourself that it's sort of a novel routine. But like, it's not the same thing every day.
Yeah, I think so. And also like because for a while I was like, oh, I'll just write 10 things I'm grateful for before I go to sleep and it's always oh, I liked my cup of tea today.
Yeah, it's often the same
things. It's always the same things. And if again, with the mindful moments perhaps as well, it's like, oh, I'm grateful for this home. Yes, but how many times have I said that to myself? And maybe, yeah, just finding something new about the day, that moment even, that is like, oh, that's, yeah, that's pretty cool. And I like that. Yeah.
Okay. What about for people? I would imagine there's people out there like this that just, no matter how hard you try, they can't find it. They can't break through. And I know you've probably been in this place of low point where there just doesn't seem to be a way out. I know I've certainly been there. How do you start, someone who's really, I guess, in a more depressive state, say, oh, you know, find something new, find something fun, and they're looking at you like you're an idiot. Like,
yeah, 100%.
How do they start to move out?
So this is something that I did. There was a time in my life where I was very, very depressed. Yeah, I reached a point of complete dissociation from myself and I just felt completely numb. And doing all that gratitude stuff and like everything that people told me to do, and they were great suggestions, but nothing was working. I was like, I'm not feeling it. I feel nothing. I just feel empty and I just, nothing's going to work. What did work, and this took a very long time, so don't expect it to be a miraculous overnight thing, but I practiced feeling better on the inside. So I did that by remembering how I used to feel, that when a time when I felt good, and imagining that feeling in my body. So I'm practicing things on a cellular level, like I'm changing my, I felt like it was changing my chemistry because I was like, practicing a feeling, practicing an emotion.
Okay, interesting.
And it does work. I think something happens and your chemistry kind of goes, oh, that's because depression, it's the chemistry.
It is.
It's a balance in your body that's not healthy.
Yep.
And I believe you can shift it.
Well, of course. And I think depression in a lot of cases, and I'm not a psychologist or a doctor or anything, but it is a gradual process of what you choose to focus on and what you see around you and the meaning you give to that over a period of time, which spirals most people into this depressive state.
Yeah.
So what you're saying is using that same technique to get you out of it.
Yeah.
We don't just go one day from happy, happy, joy, joy, loving life to depressed the next day. Therefore, we can't go from depressed one day to happy, happy, joy, joy, fun, fun the next day too. It's going to be a process.
It is a process. It's a slow change in your body. You could just sit there and imagine these, or feel these feelings in your body and how you want to feel. So imagine yourself in the future, not right now because you're not there now, but imagine how you want to feel in the future and feel that feeling inside you.
Yeah. And I'm going to add one little, maybe a pre-step to this.
Okay.
And that is to validate the way you're feeling now. Mm-hmm. It's okay to be depressed. Mm. It's okay to be anxious. It's okay to be angry and frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
We're humans. We experience every level of emotion on the entire spectrum and it's okay. And I think the second we can validate that emotion, and because we judge emotion, oh, I'm depressed all the time, I'm anxious all the time, I'm angry, and we beat ourselves up for it.
Yeah, definitely.
The first step is, I think, just going, okay, this is okay. Mm. Becoming aware of it and validating it, that's okay. Then what you just said is then, this is okay. I don't want to hang here forever.
Yeah.
This is not a place I want to live, but I'm here right now. Then you start to imagine that what you were just saying, the feeling, remembering times when you felt differently and then trying to take yourself into that place. Mm. I think we should be psychologists. Jen, what do you think? We're doing such a great job.
So
there's probably psychologists listening to us right now going, oh, my gosh, stop talking, you two.
But
the bottom line is we do, because this is your story. This is your experience. And I know for me, validating emotions been a big part in my journey of coming out of anxiety and dark places.
Yeah, it's definitely a personal journey and everyone's got different things that work for them. But, yeah, for me it's even just like putting my mind back into a place that felt really good and putting that emotion back in my body. It's, yeah, it just comes back down to self-compassion for me, like what you were saying about validating emotions. That is being compassionate to yourself.
It is.
Yeah, and we're conditioned to push negative feelings aside and, you know, always put ourselves down for not being enough, not doing enough, blah, 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 blah.
Yep.
it's really sad because people end up living in that space and growth doesn't come from that
space.
No,
it doesn't come. It's miserable. And then when you're in that space, you see it in other people, which means then that affects the way you interact with other people and you don't like the way other people behave because unconsciously you see that behaviour in yourself and you don't like it in yourself.
Totally.
So it spirals. It's this whole domino effect, this ripple effect and this cycle that keeps building on itself.
Yeah.
So you've got to break the cycle.
Yeah.
So we want to find fun. Hopefully some of those ideas we've given people, Gem, have helped. It's been awesome. Chat, like time just flies when I talk to you.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. I know. It's cool. It's been fun. Now, Gem, how do people find you?
So my new fandangled website, www.gemmaarmstrong.com. And you can find me on Facebook as well, Still Jamming with Gemma. And, yeah, hopefully soon you'll see some music showing up on the streaming platforms.
What's the name of the album?
Oh, I don't know yet.
You still haven't named the album you're about to release?
Correct. Do you have any suggestions?
Gosh. Oh, my gosh.
Well, I'm open to suggestions.
All right, guys, now we're putting this out to the universe. Now, anyone that's got an idea, having listened to Gemma, and now we know what she's about pretty much, what do you think she should call her album? You can contact her through her website, GemmaArmstrong.com.
Oh, that's Gemma with a J, by the way.
Yes, not Gemma with a G.
Yeah.
That'll be in the show notes so people can do that. And I'm sure you'll get lots of ideas about what you should call your album.
I hope so. Please tell me. I have no clue. I'm stuck on that one.
Well, do you know what you need to do? You need to go away.
I need to go.
Take yourself away. Get out of the noise of the world. Find a tree. Sit there and let creativity do its job.
Yeah.
Get into parasympathetic nervous system and let that creativity just surround you. Okay, enough, Gemma, enough. Wonderful chatting with you. Thank you so much. It's been
an
awesome
you.
Conversation.
Oh, and it's great to be back.
Look forward to the next one.
Yes,
thanks, Gem.
No worries.
What a wonderful conversation that was with Gemma Armstrong. Wasn't that incredible news? How exciting for her. She's going to be traveling the country over to New Zealand performing in this traveling show. And she actually told me what it was, but I'm not going to tell you. It's very exciting. But wasn't that a cool conversation with some great ideas about just getting out of this busy, noisy, stressful world to find the fun that's there for every single one of us? And if you're struggling to find fun, I really want you to listen to this podcast again and again and try to implement some of those ideas and strategies that Gemma and I discussed. Also, which is a bit of fun, helping you come up with a name for her album. If you come up with a cool name, contact Gemma. You can find her on her website, which is www.gemmaarmstrong.com. You can find her on Jamming with Gemma on all of the social media platforms. She's available. She'd love to chat. She's a very inspiring young lady and she's there and ready to hear from you. Thanks for being with me for another week, another wonderful week. It was truly, truly powerful and important message, as I believe every week is. I really hope you will share this with as many people as possible. I hope you'll be back with me next week because I will definitely be here. My name is Andrew Jobling. This is the Wellness Puzzle Podcast.